Good afternoon. My presentation will focus on the EPI investigation, and then our next speaker, Allison, will be going into more detail about the regulatory investigation. Salmonella is the most common bacterial cause of enteric illness in the United States, resulting in about 1.2 million illnesses, 24,000 hospitalizations, and 450 deaths annually. I'm sure you've seen this slide about 10 times today. But Salmonella infections can be acquired from multiple sources, including food animals like meat, poultry, eggs, also water, and animal contact. And that's both direct and indirect contact with animals. The majority of multi-state foodborne outbreaks in the U.S. are detected by PulseNet. PulseNet is the molecular national molecular subtyping network for foodborne disease surveillance and is made up of over 80 public health and regulatory labs. These labs perform molecular subtyping of disease-causing bacteria, and the current method is pulse field gel electrophoresis, or PFGE. And creates a PFG pattern or DNA fingerprint for each bacterial isolate. These fingerprints are electronically shared by members of PulseNet and kept in a national database at CDC where they're monitored for outbreaks. PulseNet monitors for collections of similar patterns in the past 2 to 4 months. When a cluster of similar patterns is identified, PulseNet notifies foodborne epidemiologists. The image shows an example of different PFGE patterns from individual patients. Each horizontal line is an isolate from a patient, and the red box indicates a cluster of indistinguishable patterns, and this would be the outbreak strain. So now I'll talk about the outbreak. So on May 6, 2014, PulseNet identified a cluster of Salmonella in Newport infections. There were 9 infections reported from 5 states, and the pattern had never been seen before in the United States. On May 14th, PulseNet Canada identified a matching cluster of the outbreak strain. In Canada, there were 4 cases in 2 provinces. And this presentation does focus on the EPI investigation in the United States. It was really a collaborative effort both in the United States and Canada. During the course of the investigation in the U.S., 2 additional Salmonella serotypes and 3 outbreak strains associated with the outbreak. Salmonella Hartford was isolated from a co-infected ill person in Canada that was infected with the original outbreak strain of Salmonella Newport. And this was also a novel PFGE pattern in the United States. Salmonella Oranienburg was identified in leftover product from an ill person. An additional Salmonella Newport PFGE pattern was identified in intact product. And PulseNet query identified additional illnesses during 2014 of these serotypes and PFGE patterns, and they were only included in the case definition after gathering additional EPI information. So that leads us to our final case definition, which is a person infected with the outbreak strains of Salmonella Newport, Hartford, or Oranienburg, isolated during January 1st to August 8th, 2014. So to identify common food exposures among ill persons, we first looked at the initial state questionnaires, where we had this early on healthy eater signal, where people were reporting alternative diets such as vegan, vegetarian, and non-dairy. They also reported eating a lot of smoothies and supplements. In fact, chia seed flour was noted by a local health department in Wisconsin during an early interview with their ill person. So we opted for open-ended interviews with ill persons, starting with the most recent infection since they would have a better memory of their food histories. And after 7 interviews, 100% of ill persons reported eating chia seed powder, and 86%, or 6 of 7, reported the same brand, Brand X. So combining data with the open-ended interviews with supplemental questionnaires that followed, we found that 90% of ill persons with data available reported exposure to either chia seeds or powder, and 71% reported chia seed powder, 19 reported chia seeds only. And yes, the chia seeds and powder, in fact, made with the same as the lovable chia pets that we all remember. They are typically consumed as a supplement because they're supposedly rich in omega-3 fatty acids, and they are usually added to smoothies and cereal and yogurt. The EPI findings triggered a traceback investigation which began in the U.S. with brand X. And this was investigated using lot codes, lot code information from leftover product from the ill persons, which traced to firm Y located in Canada and was determined to be the source of the brand X sprouted chia seed powder during the time frame of interest. And country Y supplied firm, I'm sorry, country Z supplied firm Y with two lots of suspect chia seeds, which were grown and harvested in two farms during June and July of 2013. And like I mentioned, Allison will be talking about that in more detail. The traceback and trace forward investigations led to a number of recalls. Brand X issued a recall on May 28, 2014. Five additional recalls from four different U.S. companies sold under five different brand names occurred during June 4th to July 1st. There were eight recalls in Canada with companies sold under nine brand names during May 30th to June 25th. All of these trace back to the implicated chia seed powder produced at Firm Y. FDA issued an import alert on Firm Y on June 11th, meaning that chia-containing Firm Y products were denied entry into the United States unless they were proven safe. FDA notified the WHO InfoSan of international distribution of the recalled product. CDC and FDA also put forth a PHIC, or a public health emergency of international concern, to the WHO due to the global distribution of Brand X products. So in total, we had 31 ill persons infected with the outbreak strains reported from 16 states, as depicted on the map. New York and California had the most cases, with 7 and 4 cases, respectively. The median age was 48, and the range was 1 to 81 years. 61% were female. 22% were hospitalized, and there were no deaths reported in the U.S. Here's the epidemic curve with the number of cases on the y-axis and the week of illness onset on the x. The curve also distinguishes between the different outbreak serotypes. So Salmonella Newport is in yellow, and there were 20 ill persons. Salmonella Hartford is in purple with 7 persons, and Oranienburg in green with 4 ill persons. The onset date ranged from January 21st through July 22nd of 2014. And as you can see, the curve is rather flat, and that suggests a more shelf-stable product as opposed to something that was like produce. Here are the U.S. laboratory results summarizing bacterial isolates from humans, leftover product, and intact product for the 3 serotypes and 4 outbreak strains. The first Newport strain listed is the original outbreak strain. 14 samples of leftover product provided by ill persons in 7 states yielded salmonella matching 3 of the 4 outbreak strains. 25 samples of intact product sampled by 3 states tested positive for 2 of the 4 outbreak strains. And of note, 9 intact product samples yielded additional salmonella strains, but we queried PulseNet and there were no additional clinical isolates identified. In Canada, they had a total of 63 persons infected with the outbreak strains reported from 4 provinces, Ontario, British Columbia, Alberta, and Quebec. Ill persons ranged in age from 6 months to 89 years, with a median age of 42. 68% were female, 21% were hospitalized, and no deaths. So they had very similar EPI data as we did here in the U.S. So chia seed powder is a novel vehicle for foodborne illness outbreaks. To make the powder, the chia seeds are sprouted, dried, and ground. There was sprouting without chlorination at Firm Y, which likely allowed for amplification of contamination, which is not entirely unexpected since chia seeds are a raw agricultural product. And chia seed is usually consumed without any kind of additional processing, like cooking. So although chia seed powder is a novel vehicle for foodborne outbreaks, consuming sprouted seeds is recognized as an important cause of foodborne illness. So here are a few examples from the literature of outbreaks attributed to what I'm talking about isn't on there. But there are a lot of there's a lot of stuff in the literature about outbreaks linked to sprouted sprouts. Now this is what I'm talking about. Okay, so these are examples of the CDC Facebook post and tweet related to this outbreak published during the course of the investigation, and it looks like the blackout doesn't really black out that well. Yeah. Reed Harvey liked it. Okay, so getting the message out over recalled products was really important since it's the shelf life of some of these products extended actually into the fall of this year. So recalled, potentially contaminated products are still remaining in consumers' homes. A lot of people put these products in the freezer to extend the shelf life because they are rather expensive. So in conclusion, this is the first multi-state outbreak of multiple salmonella serotypes linked to the consumption of sprouted chia seed powder that we lovingly refer to as chiaria. This complex investigation was enhanced tremendously through our international collaboration of state and province and federal public health and regulatory agencies. And consuming sprouted seeds is a well-documented risk for foodborne illness, and firms choosing to produce sprouted seed products should adopt the available guidance from FDA. And I'd like to acknowledge the many organizations that worked on this, and I welcome any questions. Thank you.
Questions. You'll come to the microphone and just state your name and the organization you're with.
Great, my boss is going to ask a question.
So I don't have the answer.
You're Matt Wise.
I'm Matt Wise. do we know about any other products like chia powder that would be like other seeds that were sprouted in the ground? Because I can't think of any other ones myself, but I feel like they must be out there. So I guess I'm just wondering whether there's other things to be kind of on the lookout for that are made in a similar way.
Maybe someone from FDA might know the answer to this, but just from walking around Whole Foods during this outbreak, I did see some sprouted hemp powder as well. But you're right, usually it's like a flax seed, which is not sprouted. It's usually just ground or sold as whole seeds. The sprouting is supposed to, according to one of the companies that was involved in the recall, the sprouting is supposed to enhance its health properties. But not sure about that. But don't eat your chia pet. Any other questions?
So I'll ask a question.
Sure.
I'm curious about the multiple salmonella serotypes, and if there was any, maybe this might be covered some in the FDA presentation as well, but I'm curious about why the product was so contaminated with multiple strains, and why there was a predominance of one type of human infection.
That's a good question. I think you're right. I think it's just because it's a raw agricultural product. It's just probably has a lot of gross contamination, and then in the sprouting is amplifying that. And then the contamination isn't consistent through the product, so we're seeing multiple patterns and multiple serotypes. And then not as many cases here, so if, as in Canada, they had twice as many cases. But yeah, I don't know if Allison is covering that at all in her talk. But
yeah, I agree with you. Just the process of sprouting itself, mm-hmm. if there is any contamination in the seed, that'll just enhance anything that's there.
Thank you.
Yep.